Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What should I say to my Christian friend who believes that attending church is optional?
What? I'm sorry. This is Wretched Radio. Those are the dulcet tones of one Kevin DeYoung. He's a Presbyterian whippersnapper in competition with the Duggars to try to win the race. How many children can one couple have in a single lifetime? Well, because that's the only one you get here is a single lifetime until eternal lifetime. The point is, Kevin DeYoung is a Presbyterian pastor. He's an author, and he is one of those guys that if you've been nervous, will the Lord raise up anybody that's like R.C. Sproul? Yeah, Kevin DeYoung. I don't know who would win the IQ test battle between Kevin DeYoung and R.C. Sproul, but it would be close. I've watched this guy enough to know he's got some gray matter going on, and he is very concerned. And I don't mean concerned like, oh, nail biting. He's always passionate about the local church. He desires to see local churches flourish. And so he's doing a Q&A. I think this is a bunch of pastors that have assembled for a conference that he does maybe every other year. And he's answering questions that I think are of interest to us because he cares about the local church, which, by the way, that's what I'll be preaching on 2 days from now, Saturday at the White Harvest Conference at Foothills Baptist Community International Church. What is it?
It's Foothills Community Church,
yeah,
in Marble Hill, Georgia.
Oh, it's Marble Hill.
Yeah.
I thought it was Foothills.
No, well, it's Foothills Community.
It's in the Foothills.
Yeah, right.
And it's lovely there, and it should be a great time. Tim Challies will be there. Gabe Hughes will be there. Ray Rhodes will be there. Who am I? I think I'm missing somebody.
Oh, Todd Friellius. He'll be there as well.
Well, that's a bummer. And he'll be speaking about putting our efforts and our energies into the local church. If you have lamented the inability to do something about what's happening in our country, here's what you can do. Get plugged into your local church. Serve in your local church. It is the institution that Jesus Christ has ordained for building his kingdom, strengthening his people. And we need to be pouring our energies into that. And look, everybody gets to determine where they burn their calories. But it's clear Jesus is far more interested in his church than he is in the government. I know that's almost blasphemy these days, but it's biblically sound. He cares about building his church, this kingdom. Why? Because he's going to be the one who comes and subdues and obliterates all of the kingdoms of this world. They will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's a catchy, you know, that could be put to music and that could be something right there.
It could.
I think we all agree with that eschatologically, don't we? Who is going to be the one who rules kings with an iron rod? That they bend the knee to him? It's going to be Jesus. Not us. It's going to be Jesus. And that's going to happen when he returns. We're not going to fix the nations till he gets here. He's going to obliterate the nations and set up his kingdom where he will reign with his people forever and ever. Yeah, I got something going on here, Jimmy. This has got a tune. That'll never work. By the way, speaking of Christian nationalism, did receive some emails because I think I did a commentary earlier this week, and did receive emails from people, and I would like now to take the time. This is going to be a bit. I'm going to share the Bible verses that support Christian nationalism because that was my critique. There is simply no biblical support for it. You have to build it by saying, well, this verse kind of means that, and then if it means that, then this verse means that and that, and then see, voila, we've got Christian nationalism. I say, please provide explicit Bible verses. So here they are. Yeah, I didn't get any.
Did your mic cut out?
I didn't. No, I got some long emails. That is certain. And everybody was super respectful. So appreciate that. I hope that I return that favor. They were kindly, but I noticed they were all lacking Bible verses. But one, an individual did say Matthew 28, the Great Commission. That supports Christian nationalism, which would be the church leading the government, influencing the government, making sure that the government is used for theological reasons to protect the church, keep the purity, and maintain the purity of the church, heresy trials, blasphemy laws, etc. In other words, to make sure that the two tablets of the commandments were being enforced. And he used Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. There it is, thought this individual. And I thought, actually, I would use that verse for my side. That's exactly what we're to make disciples. Yes, we are to teach them to obey, which is what Christian nationalism is all in favor of, teaching people to obey. But that's to jump over the first part, make disciples. We're supposed to be making, people can only obey if they're a disciple. And you say, well, they can obey if it's just through government mandate. They can, but not the way God wants. He wants us to obey from the heart. That's what he's after. So I'm sorry, I don't think that the Great Commission supports Christian nationalism. I think it supports separation of church and state. It is our job to deal with spiritual matters. It's the government's job to deal with the sword. Having said that, Kevin DeYoung, Presbyterian whippersnapper, going to address those who say, I don't need to go to church.
Let me start with a quote from John Stott. John Stott is now with the Lord. He's a British pastor, Anglican, served in London, very well respected. I always start with this quote because John Stott was a very model of a posh, godly Englishman who was very measured in his words, not prone to exaggeration or overstatement. And he said in one of his last books, I trust that none of you are that grotesque anomaly, an unchurched Christian. So I was thinking, if John Stott said a grotesque anomaly, then I feel at liberty to use the phrase. I would say to your friend who thinks that attending church is optional, several things. You could start practically. Do you think that you are not a part of the body of Christ that needs the rest of the body? Paul says that, can the eye say to the ear, I don't need you, the nose to the mouth? If you don't attend church, you are saying exactly what Paul said the body parts are not supposed to say. You're saying, I have nothing to gain from other people in the body of Christ. I have nothing to give to other people in the body of Christ.
That should be enough right there. By the way, he's speaking off the cuff. I told you, he's kind of smart.
Practically, are you going to grow in your faith, even if you're doing online church, even if you read Christian books? There is not, I'll just say it this way. I've never met someone who said, let me tell you the greatest Christian I know in my life, and that person is disconnected from church.
Nope.
No, they're invested in their church. They're in the Bible, they're in the Word. And then I would say this to a friend who says, I'm a Christian, but church is optional. I'd say, well, let's think about some of the ways the Bible talks about the church. The church is a body, a building, a bride.
Okay, we got some alliteration going on. I'm now confused. I thought he was a Presbyterian. I guess that's music. What Baptists do. Did you catch those three B's? That is a helpful response. If you can memorize the three B's, the next time that you run into somebody who offers, I don't need to go to church, I do it online, I do it elsewhere, this will be helpful for you. Furthermore, I think history instructs us that being in church is crucial. Do you know who was a great writer, but not a churchman? A.W. Pink. A.W. Pink. I heard this. This is secondhand, but I think it's sound. I believe Alistair Begg was speaking at the Reformed the school here in Georgia. What is the name of the Presbyterian, the Reformed University College Seminary?
Oh, yeah.
You too, Brute? You can't remember either. Okay, so he's there and he's speaking to the students. And he said the message was, don't be like A.W. Pink. Because typically the person who says, I don't want to be in church, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes it is accompanied by this statement, and I'll bet you've heard this, I just can't find a good church. That's exactly what A.W. Pink said. And therefore he wrote well, but he never grew like he could because he would refuse to be involved in a local church. The three B's, courtesy of Kevin DeYoung, next on Wretched Radio.
Some struggles stay hidden for years. For many Christian women, pornography is one of them.
If you're listening and this is your struggle, I want you to know that shame and secrecy are not God's will for you.
Out of the Shadows is a three-part series from Fortis Institute hosted by our very own Libby Glosson, and it was made for the woman who believes she's the only one. Available right now at fortisplus.org.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource, Persecution, is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus.
A good majority of us are running two lives. There's the one where you pray and you read your Bible and you go to church, but there's also another life, the one where you go to work and do what you've got to do to cover the bills. And Todd Friel, well, he doesn't believe that God ever meant for these to be two different lives. His new book is called Go Serve Your King. You can pre-order Go Serve Your King right now at fortisinstitute.org/king. And if you order by November 15th, Todd will mail you a signed book plate for your copy. The book comes out December the 1st. History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpha Read a Bible Church, and every single week he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nope, there's no perfect church. not, that doesn't mean you have an excuse to not be a serving member of a local church. This is Wretched Radio. It has been rightly said, there's no pain quite like church pain. It's the place you think you should be safe. It's like family. Which pain is deeper, church pain or family pain? That's a coin toss, isn't it? Because you expect in church that people would be godly. They wouldn't do things to harm you. And yet it does happen. It does. I think many times it happens because of just really bad communication. But there are genuine times when the people at church, elders and pastors, either through neglect, not desiring to get involved in messy issues, or actually the ones who are the culprits in inflicting pain on individuals. And those people can be reeling, and I get that. So I don't want to be insensitive to those who have indeed experienced some sort of church scalding. Having said that, I would encourage even that person, oh, please, please, please do not use church pain to not be a part of a local church. It is so to your detriment. It is so to your detriment. By the way, speaking of church, you want some church pain? I did something that I think I violated my own principle. I'm not sure because, oh, I know why I started watching it. Mrs. Friel went for a walk. She was going to go for a walk, and I couldn't go with because, okay, my knee had a boo-boo, and so I couldn't go for a walk. By the way, Jimmy, I think I told you about the witchcraft experience that I had.
You told me.
It was voodoo. It was absolute sorcery is what was going on. Went to one of the, I think I tore a meniscus is what I did.
That sounds right.
Oh, my own fault. I felt the pain and I just kept pushing through it. And I knew I kept lifting and zing and kerpow, snap, whatever it did. And I went to this place where they fix stuff like that without involving injections of drugs into your knee. And the dude put electroshock. It's really weird. I don't know what electroshock is. It's some pulsating thing. And he goes, okay, I'm gonna turn this on and I'm gonna put it on your leg. Did you feel anything? No. He said, because you don't feel it where it's healthy. You'll just feel it where it's hurt. And he was right. Oh, and it just rubs the air where the meniscus is with this thing. And it's like, ha, 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 ha. He said, I want the pain to be at a 5. And I'm like Brian Regan. I'm an 8. I'm an 8 again. Turn that thing down. Jane, stop this crazy thing. And he said, okay, when it was all done, and I dried the tears from my eyes in a manly way, of course, he said, stand up and tell me how that feels. And I gingerly put my leg down and it's like, hey, it feels better. Like one thing, like 5 minutes. Voodoo. I'm telling you, it was voodoo. Got to go back like one or two more times. But that was, what is the sorcery? Pharmakia. It must be some sort of pharmakia that they're using inside of the teal. So, I couldn't go on the walk with Mrs. Friel. And it was the end of the day before the sun was going down. So she was out safe. And I did want to watch something. And I turned on, I think it was Netflix. And the number one movie was, oh. What?
I know what you're going to say.
Which one? What did I watch?
The Pastor's Wife.
That's the one.
I watched it, yeah.
Jimmy, I'm like, oh, I don't like watching that stuff because it's always one side.
Yeah.
And that's Proverbs 18:17 violation. But for some reason, I don't know, I was weak. Because the promo was like so gasp worthy. It was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. I watched all three.
Yeah, I did too.
Couldn't help it. Watched all three. And now what did the guy do behind closed doors? I don't know, because you just heard one side. And so he would say that he's innocent. And so I can't adjudicate it. I'm just telling you, it was shocking. And the people, I do know this. That the people, there are things that we can know that are definitive, that are just bad church things. The dude, the young lady who committed suicide was 13 years old when she joined the church. She turned 18. She married a young man in the church at the, like, 18 years old. They fell in love and they got married. Almost immediately, the pastor starts sending texts saying, "You're beautiful. Want to have lunch?" Yikes! Did they broke their marriage vows? He divorces his wife and kids. She divorces the young man that they married. They get married. Yikes! And there were known affairs that were taking place, but from the pastor. Now those people in that church. Now that's a scalding. That is church pain right there. The guy that you trusted with your soul is behaving like that. Oh, that hurts. That's genuine church pain. I'm not saying you should watch it. I'm just saying it sure was interesting. And it sure was a demonstration. Now, the church was just destroyed. It seemed like it was more of a charismatic sort of affair. They didn't focus on that. Because I think that was pretty clear. Even so, the devastation that was brought to that body, it had hundreds of folks going, and now the dude is married to the woman he was having an affair with while he was still married to the woman that he married after he divorced his own wife. Are you tracking with me on this?
Because he had an affair with her.
And now he's leading a church of like 20 people. And by the way, oh no, okay, wait a second, I've got this here. This is so awful for this church. Okay, so this dude starts up. His original church was Solid Rock or something like that. I can't remember what it was called. And now that that went out of business, he called it Mercy Church. Well, Mercy Baptist Church in Conway is also known as Mercy Church. And they're just a little Baptist church doing their business, and they're getting all kinds of hate mail from people. You rotten, terrible pastor, how dare you? So leave the people at Mercy Baptist Church alone. How unfortunate is that? That's church hurt. That's church pain. And it's real. And you might think, I can't go back. I can't go back and do it again. Kevin DeYoung, I hope, will help you with that.
The church is a body, a building, a bride. So we already talked about the body. Christ is the head. And the church is the body. So I like to use this grotesque analogy. You've heard of decapitation, cutting someone's head off. If you think you can be a Christian without the church, it's decorpulation. You're cutting the body off. You're saying, I can have Jesus without the church. That's having a head without the body. So I would say very nicely to that friend, you know what you are? You're walking around with Jesus' head in a bucket. That's your spirituality. That's all I need. I don't need a body. I just need a head. That's grotesque. A building. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the apostles and prophets, the foundation, the church is the building as living stones. So a Christian without the church is like a head without a body, and it's like a basement without a building. Nobody goes and says, look it, let's live in the basement that has no roof on it. We have a foundation. Well, the foundation is meant to have something built upon it. You're meant to inhabit this building and you're a part of it. And then finally, I'd say a bride. We know that the church is the bride of Christ, and who among us, what man would think if we had a buddy come to us and say, I really, can I just talk to you though for a minute? I mean, I love you, we're tight, right? But your girlfriend, I don't want any, can you just tell me when she's around? I never want to see your wife. I don't want to ever be in the same room with you and your wife. And yet we think Jesus is going to look and think, wow, you're very spiritual. You know, you're so tight with me. You don't need the church. That's saying to a husband, your bride disgusts me. Jesus, don't you want to love what Jesus loves? That's maybe where you end. You want to know what Jesus loves? He loves his bride. You know who he died for? It's his bride. You know who he's working to wash and make clean? His bride. And you don't love what Jesus loves?
Did he get to all of it there? Did we get to the body, the building, and the what would? I should have been taking notes. Kevin DeYoung, reminding us of the importance of the local church. If you've been scalded, the best place to heal is in a local church. It really is. I know. I've heard the descriptions of church pain, but the place where you will actually heal from it is in another local church. Obviously, you have to make sure it's the elders. They're the key to knowing that you're in a safe place. You have every right to sit down with them, to ask them questions, interrogate them if you like, because it is important that you have mature, godly men that are responsible for the tending of your soul, and you're to submit to them. Find those guys. They're not going to be perfect. They're just not. There's going to be stuff that isn't perfect, but if they're striving to be biblical and godly, you got yourself a good place. And if you're one of those who never goes to church because you maybe have the spirit of A.W. Pink, you just can't find one that's perfect, oh, please, if they're biblical and godly, they're square on the essentials, and they're striving to be a biblical church, you found yourself a good place. Please overlook the minutiae and become a serving member of a local church. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.